Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at 97.5 FM WFHR. Your host, James, behind the mic, joined by our head of news, Melissa.
Hello.
Our head of production, Seth.
Good morning.
And let me double check. Yep, the best listeners in radio are here. We're ready to have some fun. We got good things coming up for you in this hour, but we kick it off the way we like to around here on a Monday. Tell me something
good. Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR, back live after a week off.
Yeah.
Good to be back. Right. Yeah. June is National Dairy Month. I don't know if you guys are aware of that or not.
Yeah.
And around our state, we've seen several communities celebrating with breakfasts and other events. So Seth and I had a chance to attend, actually, the Marshfield Dairy Breakfast. Mm-hmm. We had a ball up there. And when I saw they were serving ice cream as part of the event, I have to admit, at first I thought it was kind of strange.
Well, ice cream is, you know, sort of strange and cold.
Mm. It's also
makes my mouth cold. That's why I don't eat so much of it anymore.
But it's so good.
It
tastes good no matter when you have it. And on hot days like today, it is an advantage to have ice cream.
Fair.
But it is only one of many delicious ways to enjoy dairy products.
Ah, so is cheese and chocolate milk.
Well, for our show, we're going to celebrate National Dairy Month by learning a little bit more about exactly what constitutes dairy and what does not. According to usdairy.com, dairy products are derived from milk, which has been an important source of nutrition for people for thousands of years. These products include cheese, butter, and yogurt.
That means not everything we see in the dairy aisle is technically dairy.
That's right. Eggs tend to be in the same area and are often referred to as dairy, but they are not actually a dairy product at all because they come from chickens,
right,
not cows.
I
know, shocking.
Shocking. I knew that.
I did find a list at usdairy.com of things that are considered dairy. And here's what they said. Milk, of course. It's available in various forms such as whole, skim, and flavored, like chocolate. Cheese, which includes varieties like cheddar, mozzarella, brie, gouda, and so many more.
Oh, yeah.
Yogurt, you can get that plain, Greek flavored, or even in drinkable forms. Cream, which includes heavy cream, light cream, and sour cream. Butter, which is available salted, unsalted, and spreadable. Ice cream, like I said, and there are so many ways that you can make ice cream and flavor ice cream. So there are so many flavors, and the even the texture of creaminess can vary. It's a wonderful frozen treat.
Mm-hmm.
Kefir, which was a new one to me. I'd not really known about kefir. It's a fermented milk drink that can contain live and active cultures.
Ooh, interesting.
Wow, you know, there is so much that the Sutherlands have brought to the entertainment industry, and to think
kefir. Kefir.
I'll see myself out.
All right. You do that. Now,
who knew he was named after a fermented drink?
Yeah, who knew? And whey is a byproduct of milk making that is also used in protein supplements.
That's right.
So there are so many things you can do. Mm-hmm. And with the cheese, you know, in Wisconsin, you can't talk about cheese without talking about cheese curds.
That's right.
Right? We all love the cheese curds. And you know, I grew up listening to the nursery rhyme about curds and whey and all of that.
Oh, yeah. Little Miss Tuffet.
Yeah. Yep. And not really making that connection to that was all products of milk.
That's right. Cottage cheese, basically. Yeah. Curds and whey.
Yeah.
So she must have been a dairy farmer.
That's right.
That must have been. Must have
right?
been.
Yes, that would make sense.
Oh, that solves a mystery right there. That solves a mystery.
So dairy is also nutritionally beneficial. USDairy.com shares that these foods contain nutrients your body needs. For example, milk, cheese, and yogurt contain protein, calcium, and vitamin B12, which help rebuild and repair muscle tissue, build and maintain a strong bone and teeth, and keep your nervous system healthy. Who knew that milk was good for your nerves? And all of that is respectively. In addition, the protein, zinc, selenium, and vitamins A and D found in every cup of milk help support a healthy immune system.
Well, how about that?
So dairy products are rich in essential nutrients that support overall health and well-being. Here are some of the key benefits. With the protein, it can support, like I said, muscle growth and repair. Calcium is essential for strong bones and teeth. Vitamin B12 is important for nerve function, and red blood cell production. So it's one of the reasons why we need that one. Vitamin D helps the body absorb calcium and supports bone health.
That's right.
So that's often why you'll see it added to something that already has calcium in it. You know, I often go to the grocery store and see orange juice that has calcium and vitamin D added, because you have to have them both in order for your body to absorb that calcium.
Any milk carton you see it, it's like vitamin D, A and D milk. They always show that prominently on the label.
And vitamin A, which is in milk, supports vision, immune function, and skin health.
Very nice.
Zinc is important for immune function and healing wounds. And
selenium.
Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Selena.
Maybe that's where she got her name.
Yeah.
Selenium acts as an antioxidant to protect cells from damage.
Very nice.
Including a variety of different dairy products in your diet can help ensure that you meet your nutritional needs.
Feels like cows should be healthier.
No, they're fine. They're doing all right.
This topic and this has been happening to me for 20 some years now, because my youngest daughter Isabel being lactose intolerant, and not being around that beforehand, and just learning more and more about that. And I see this list here, and I immediately think of people in that situation that are missing out on some of these things, and where they have to go to get those benefits from other things and supplements and a lot of that. Just makes me empathetic towards it and think about that, because to me, it's one of my favorite things to drink is milk. I love 2% milk. I go out of my way to put milk into my diet and stuff.
And the nice thing is they figured out ways to take out the lactose from milk so that those who are lactose intolerant or sensitive have an option to still have the dairy part of it without the lactose. Now, there are others that are completely allergic to any type of dairy or milk product, no matter what. And there are other options. I've recently started to drink coconut milk, which is a wonderful alternative. There's almond milk and all of that, which I know there's some debate out there whether or not to even call it milk, because technically it's not a dairy product.
Right.
It's something different.
Right.
But it still has that creaminess and
that
has
consistency.
Those,
yeah, yep. It's very similar.
And many of the same health benefits. I know with coconut milk, it actually has more calcium than what you would get from cow's milk. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to continue to have the health benefit, even if you can't have the actual dairy product.
Mm-hmm.
But dairy is in itself very versatile, and sometimes it's fun to incorporate it in new ways into our diet. MidwestDairy.com has a whole section of recipes that use dairy products that look absolutely delicious. And a new one for me was Sorulitos.
I would say Sorulitos.
Sorulitos. If you can pronounce that, feel free to call us up.
Yes,
that's right.
And let us know if we're mispronouncing it.
Right.
The website shares, treat yourself to Sorulitos, a delightful cheesy snack perfect for any occasion. These golden crispy cornmeal sticks are infused with melty cheddar cheese, offering a satisfying crunch with every bite. Easy to make and air fried to perfection.
Ooh, I want to make it now.
They are best enjoyed with a delicious mayo ketchup dipping sauce.
Wow.
Ideal for parties or cozy evenings at home. We've got to learn how to say that word. Sorulitos. We'll go with that. Yeah,
like that.
Become a favorite. And they thank Sylvia Melendez Klinger at www.hispanicnutrition.com for the recipe. So she submitted this to MidwestDairy.com. And I will have a link to this recipe and to the two websites that I found much of this information on in the newsletter article, which if you have not signed up, you can do that for free. Simply go to civicmedia.com or find us online. So here's how to make them. And they are, like I said, very simple to make. Only about six steps. And the sixth step is just making the dipping sauce. So step one is, in a medium-sized pot, heat 1 1/4 cup water with 1/2 teaspoon of salt and 1 tablespoon of butter. Add 1 1/2 cup corn flour and fold for 1 to 2 minutes until the corn flour actually becomes a dough. And then you fold in 1¼ cup shredded cheese to and then transfer all of that to a medium bowl. You let that cool for a couple of minutes because you don't want to burn your hands if necessary. And then roll the pieces out. So use your hands to grab a little bit of it. Roll that piece of dough in your hands to form about a 3 to 3.5 inch long stick. Then you place them in a single layer in an air fryer basket and fry them at 400 degrees in the fry setting of your air fryer for about 15 to 18 minutes or until they are golden brown and crispy. Once they're out, you can serve them with that mayo ketchup dipping sauce, which is only 1/4 cup of each mixed together. So 1/4 cup of mayo and 1/4 cup of ketchup, mix that together, and you've got a great dipping sauce.
I would definitely try
this. I am so doing this.
Yeah, I definitely want to try
mostly
that.
Because I love using the air fryer to do things like this. And I love, I'm so making these.
Got to tell us how these turn out.
Yeah.
Right, and it takes the oil out of the combination, which can be bad for your cholesterol. So this keeps it a little bit healthier. You get all the health benefits of the dairy without adding the extra cholesterol from the oil, which is a great way to do that. So, well, we're looking for a way to celebrate your business as a sponsor of The Kitchens Open. As a sponsor, we will highlight your business during this segment and in our newsletter. We could also share an interview with you or even broadcast live from your business.
For more information about these opportunities, just give us a call, 715-424-1300, and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley and work out the details.
That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we will close the kitchen.
Delicious.
Fantastic. Yes, another great episode. Yum. Thank you, Beth, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, great work this weekend as well by
you
and out and about. We appreciate it.
It was so much fun to be out there and to meet our listeners and to hear, you know, what they love about the station. It's just, it's great to be in the community.
Rest that voice and get, I don't want to have her put up with me too much or anything. Beth will be in with us a little bit later for Rapids Report. We'll be talking about some great things going on over at the Moravian Church.
That's right.
Looking forward to it. Thanks again, Beth.
All right, you're welcome.
We'll have another edition of The Kitchen's Open for you next Monday right here.
Tell me something good.
Get back. Ha! Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Big shout out to Beth. Nice work on The Kitchen's Open.
Very cool.
As always.
Good stuff.
A little bit of a programming, a little bit of breaking news and programming note here, everybody. We'll be back with Playmakers tonight from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Randy Paul going to be joining me.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Haven't heard from Randy in a while.
Yeah, it'll be cool to have him with us. Looking forward to it. And, of course, we always look forward to talking about Dolly Parton. That is one of our go-tos around here. Anytime she is in the news, we tend to touch on the subject she is getting into. And in recent couple of years, very different stories than we're always used to with Dolly.
Okay, yep.
Motley Crue has released a powerful new version of their 1985 hit Home Sweet Home. But this time, they enlisted the help of Dolly Parton.
Of course they did, yes.
Yeah, and it's all for a great cause. A portion of the proceeds will benefit Covenant House, an organization that supports youth facing homelessness by providing food, shelter, and care.
Very nice.
The collaboration celebrates the 40th anniversary of the iconic power ballad, but it's not Dolly's first rock rodeo. She went full rock star, of course, back in 2023, and we covered that quite a bit.
Yes.
Motley Crue says having Dolly on the track is a career high, and Dolly called it an honor and a joy.
Aw. Very nice.
I mean, I don't know. I think this is really cool when artists do these kind of things. I will say one of the things... Sorry. One of the things that I thought was interesting about this, this particular thing is that I believe they reached out to her and didn't think that she'd be interested.
Right.
And it just so happened that they reached out to her right before she did the rock album, I believe, if I got this timeline right. And I don't know if one kicked off the other for her or not, but it doesn't seem like a coincidence.
It doesn't. So, but that's really cool. Wow.
I want to play.
Of all the weird team ups, you know?
Yeah.
It's, okay, we'll go with it.
And I suppose Dolly's like, well, why not?
Why not?
I want to play a little of this here.
All right.
But my heart's of gold. I had a runaway high. So I wouldn't come home low. Just when things went right. Doesn't mean they were always wrong. Just take this song. And you'll never be. To your
just one more night, and I'm coming on this winding road.
So the only disappointing part to me about it is it feels like they took the original recording and just included and just like spliced her in.
Yeah,
there.
They did a tractor up and with it. Yeah,
I would have liked to have heard them do it almost as a duet.
Like a different version, you know, like more of a, something new. Yeah.
That said, I think that's one of the best Motley Crue songs, and that's not bad.
It is a good song. I'm with you. And I'm not by any means a Motley Crue fan, but that is a good song. Yeah.
Not bad. And very cool. And all of this being said, even if it was a horrible song, I'm glad that it's out there, and I hope it does well with the cause that they're
Dolly bringing. Now needs to be the backup singer on every song. I think we just sing harmonies, you know. She doesn't have to lead. She just needs to do some harmony, because she's just an amazing singer all around.
Mm-hmm. They're calling it Dolly Crue, by the way, which is very well cool. done. Very well done.
Goodness.
It's always cool to me to see artists that are so established and have had careers for decades and all this, and then they get around somebody and become little kids and just like, they're cool, so in awe and all that. That's always, and especially when it's different genres.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? Well, and it's always nice to see different types of artists, like you said, different genres teaming up together and working together, lifting each other up. It's just fun.
That's always a good thing.
And Seth, I was going to ramble about this off air, but as long as you touched on everything, would she make every song better? Just by jumping in.
I'm telling you.
You know, original recordings, but just doing what she was doing there. The singer sings the refrain, and then she just comes in and sings the same words over. Like
something that gets lost, I think, with Dolly is, with all the other stuff she does, and the fact she's a tremendous songwriter and everything, she is a fantastic singer.
Mm-hmm.
I think we sometimes forget about how good she is, and that just proves she doesn't have to sing lead. She's also really good at singing harmony. It was gorgeous. Wow.
I don't know enough about singing to really talk about it, but I've always been impressed with her and singers that are great solo, but are just as great working with somebody else.
Yes.
Right, because they know how to blend.
Yeah. Right. If you listen to the stuff she did with the trio group with Linda Ronstadt and Emmylou Harris, I mean, those are some of the best harmonies you're going to hear anywhere.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Her and Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just, yep.
Mm-hmm. She's really good with whoever.
Whoever she's singing with.
I may be alone, but I am very excited about this one. Rick Moranis has been gone way too long. Even with the new Ghostbusters movies didn't lure him back to Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But I and about a million people are jazzed about him coming back to play Dark Helmet in Spaceballs 2.
Oh no.
Yes. Spaceballs 2. It's happening.
Oh.
I can't believe it.
Bill Pullman's going to return as Lone Star as well. And Mel Brooks will be back as Yogurt.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Josh Gad is co-writing the script with Mel Brooks, and he's expected to be in it, too. This is something, a bit of a passion project for Josh Gad. He actually kind of had to come up with a real script before he went to Mel Brooks with it. He was incredibly nervous to do this.
Well, I would be.
Once again, a very, very, very accomplished young man. Young man. He's not young anymore.
He's not anymore.
I'm thinking about him in the Book of Mormon when he got his break. How many guys get a break off of Broadway anymore? Not many.
No.
But Josh Gad was that.
He ran with it. Yep. Yeah.
And he's been doing some really cool stuff with his career.
He has.
Pullman's son, Lewis Pullman, has been cast along with Keke Palmer, who is amazing. I love Keke Palmer. There's also no word on the other reuniting cast members. Obviously, we've lost John Candy, Joan Rivers, Dick Van Patten, a number of people over the years that won't be. Mel released the first trailer, teaser kind of trailer. There's no footage, but it's just the Star Wars opening.
It started
with a text in the Star Wars spinoff and all that. Then it lists Dune, Jurassic Park, and Avatar, and Marvel movies, plus DC, and a number of other things, just in a joking sense.
Yes.
Then after a quick appearance from Mel, we get a shot of Rick Moranis, cracked helmet, and the tagline, "The Schwartz Awakens in 2027.
Can we just quickly, speaking of people who've been around and had amazing, Mel Brooks, is the fact, 98, 99? And he's still working on stuff.
Way up there.
Amazing. That man has had an amazing life, I got
to
say.
If somebody wanted to say that Mel Brooks is the king of comedy, I would not fight them on it. I think
98 that, years old. Wow.
He'll be 99 on the 28th, guys.
Thank God.
Oh, my gosh. It's coming up next week. Oh, my goodness.
Love this Mel week. Brooks.
Oh,
I don't know where my youth would be without Mel Brooks movies. I don't know. I'm excited about it. I like it. There are movies, there are things that come out where you can tell they're about the IP and making a buck.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about this the other day with the Young Guns 3 and everything. There aren't studios clamoring for that. That's Emilio Estevez getting together with a couple of people and saying, hey, I think this would be a fun project. Mm-hmm. Let's see if we can get some money behind it. And all of a sudden they do. Mm-hmm. I think there is a big difference with these things.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of bringing back, having a sequel or a third in a franchise 20, 30 years later doesn't make a lot of sense. We can all agree on that as a society. We can also all agree that there's nothing that sells better than nostalgia. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that sells better than nostalgia these days. I don't think that many people have a problem with that part of it. Mm-hmm. I think the one thing that Hollywood and a lot of people don't realize is when it's we can tell the difference of when it's done for the money and when it's done for the love of the game.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell the difference. You may not be able to put it in words. You may not be able to point it out in a lineup. But you know it when you see it. You know it when you feel it.
Right.
And
you know it when it's forced.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
When it's kind of wedged in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like how many Fast and Furious movies do we have now?
That's a good example.
Yep.
Pixar's Elio set a record this weekend, but not a very good one. With a $21 million box office take, Elio had the worst opening ever for a Pixar movie.
Ooh.
Interestingly, the previous record holder is the one that started it all, Pixar's Toy Story. That one opened over Thanksgiving weekend of 95 and made $29.1 million in its first 3 days. Its five-day total weekend was only $39 million.
Really? Wow.
This may be surprising to a lot of people. The original Toy Story was not a hit. It was a hit on DVD.
Yeah. Yes.
It was a hit at home that made it into a franchise. That made a franchise, basically.
Made a whole studio, actually. Yeah, it was Pixar, basically.
2023's Elemental made $29 million in its opening weekend, but went on to earn $500 million global. And obviously, Pixar's hoping Elio will do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that may be part of their intent with this one, to have more of a global success than necessarily a one country success, whether it's us here or Asia or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a lot of cartoon or kid stuff with ethnic characters in the lead.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that a lot of people out there that think that wokeism or whatever is happening in everything and all this stuff. Look, man, just try being ethnic for 5 seconds and looking at the world that way, and you're going to realize that, no, we got a lot of catching up to do.
They would notice. Right?
Yeah.
They notice these things. Yeah. Yes.
And I know I'm not like paying attention or anything, but I heard nothing about this movie before it opened.
Well, that's another part of
it. The other surprising thing about it, you're right.
Not a lot of advertising for this one.
Shockingly, for Disney, especially,
For a summer movie.
I miss a
lot
of this stuff. I miss a lot of it. But I usually at least know a little bit.
Mm-hmm. You're not alone on that one. I the commercials I did see, I didn't think really did a very good job of explaining what the movie's about.
I had forgotten it was opening this weekend.
Yeah.
I knew it was coming. I just didn't realize it was this weekend.
I mean, and it sounds like a really good premise.
It's an interesting idea. It's kind of fun, right? Yeah.
11-year-old kid becomes an interplanetary representative for Earth?
Yeah.
Come on.
And summer is one of those mixed bags for family movies,
mm-hmm.
where they can do so well, and at the same time, families are busy during the summer. They're not able to go to the movies as much and everything.
There was so many things going on just in our area this weekend. Yeah. I can't even imagine, all over.
How to Train Your Dragon stayed at number one in the box office this weekend with $37 million. Just speaking to kids' movies and them doing well or not.
There's something to be said about timing. Yeah. On these as well. We just got done. I mean, and it's still going on. Minecraft movie. I mean, just did gangbusters.
Yeah.
I mean, it swept everything before it with kids. They love that movie. And now How to Train Your Dragon. Also, again, maybe it's just a timing thing. Yeah. That they didn't
and if everybody
pick a good
went
weekend.
To those two in a row weekends, well, yep. families can't afford to go to the movies every weekend.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, considering. Exactly.
And
yeah.
if they're going to pick one to go to, they're probably going to go to a franchise they're very familiar with.
Yeah.
Right. And one
Dragons.
That they know their kids yeah. are going to like
exactly.
for sure. and that they want to go to.
We'll see if Elio shows up at next year's 39th Annual Kids' Choice Awards. The 38th Annual Kids' Choice Awards were aired on Saturday on Nickelodeon with host Tyla and about 5,000 gallons of slime.
Gotta have the slime.
Two awards I would love to win as an actor. Screen Actor Guild Award is number one. Mm-hmm. And then number two, a Nickelodeon Kids' Choice Award.
Yep, kids know what they want, man.
Yeah, yeah.
They know what they like.
Surprisingly, despite all the chicken jockey mayhem in theaters, a Minecraft movie didn't take home favorite movie. It went to Wicked.
Really?
Wow.
Wow.
Jack Black did win for favorite movie actor.
That's good.
How many of those has he won at those Kids'
Seriously?
Choice Awards? He's had to have won at least four.
Yeah, we have to look up. This is most awards he's
It has to be. Ariana Grande won Favorite Movie Actress.
Okay, makes sense.
SZA and Bruno Mars won Favorite Female and Male Artist. There's Sabrina Carpenter's Taste won for Favorite Song. And she won for Favorite Breakout Artist.
Okay.
Benson Boone got Favorite Male Breakout Artist. And Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco won Favorite Viral Song.
Oh, very cool.
I didn't know they did have those categories there. And they didn't when I was a kid. I remember when I was a kid watching it, and I don't remember a lot of those categories. That is do it for entertainment, but we want you to stick around because not only do we got more entertainment news coming up from our friend Pete Schwabe, but sports and news from Melissa and plenty more coming up for you on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Ooh. Hope you're having a great Monday out there. My computer's doing weird stuff.
That's okay. Recent inductee, the Hall of Fame, Dionne Warwick. Very happy to see that. They had a nice display for her there, which is very cool.
You got to see some of the recent winners?
Yes. Yeah, they have, they have all kinds of stuff up for them. And they were getting the outside ready, too. They're getting the platform up for the ceremony, I think. I don't know how much live music. They probably do quite a few concerts there too, is my guess. But they were, looks like they were getting ready for the induction ceremony coming up, I think in July, if I remember correctly. So
very cool.
Yeah.
There are countless excuses for putting tasks off, but what do you need to do? What do you do if you need to get in the zone and get stuff done? People online are sharing the weirdest productivity hacks that actually have worked for them. And if anything, it's worth a try.
Sure.
You know, most of these, I don't see anything. I didn't pre-read this, but just glancing at it, I don't really see anything too hard here.
Okay.
So here are a few of them. How much can I get done before this song ends?
Okay.
As a motive. Okay.
Okay, yeah. A motivation. How much? Yeah, I see that.
I did that with, like, exercise. Like, how far can I sprint before this song ends?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I will use music sometimes as a timer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got like I know my laundry's got like 10 more minutes left, so two songs. So you know, that kind of thing. Because I hate running downstairs to check the dryer and it's still going.
Or
the washer and it's still going, and I got like 5 more minutes to just stand there, and I hate that.
Because he can't move. He's got to just stand there and wait.
Right. He could stand there and listen to the song. But.
The five-minute rule. Quote the five-minute rule. If a task should take less than 5 minutes, do it now. I haven't heard of that before, but I
can see how that would work.
I do that sometimes with dishes because I like psych myself out with, I just don't feel like doing these. Okay, but this water has to come to a boil. That's going to take 10 minutes. I can get these dishes done. Boom. They're done.
There you go. See, that's not bad.
Dinner's half ready.
Yeah, there you go.
Listening to the right thing. Generic white noise, classic music, something instrumental like a video game soundtrack, or movie music from spaghetti westerns. So
specifically from spaghetti westerns.
Interesting.
I love the specificity of that.
Yeah. Quote, I switch rooms depending on the task. Writing, kitchen, emails, bedroom floor. My brain thinks it's a new job each time and stays alert.
That sounds interesting.
I do nothing on my bedroom floor.
I don't necessarily...
Well, I mean, that's not true. I did just install an air conditioner while sitting on my bedroom floor.
Well, okay, well, that...
Nice work. Nowhere else to sit, but...
Fair.
I didn't think about this, but I definitely do... But I don't necessarily leave the room. But there are things like if I'm writing for myself, I tend to do that on the floor. I tend to just, I have my notebook and my pencil and I'm just working. If I'm doing something for work, I'm much more like on my lap. I'm on my laptop and I've got everything set up and I'm trying to sit in good posture. I don't know. I never thought about this, but I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Huh. Burn a candle with a certain scent every time you do a certain task. Okay. I like to have
how that would work. Yeah.
I like to have soundtracks for things. I like so. This is just that with smell.
With smell, with your olfactory sense. Yes. Yeah.
Quote: I have a resistance. I have a resistance band around the legs of my work chair and do leg exercise extensions if I'm getting distracted.
Oh, refocusing thing. Okay,
yeah, that's a good idea.
I can see how that would work.
You in?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
That or you could just like get up and walk around a little bit.
Yeah. You could do that. Yeah,
still right there.
But. Do some push-ups. I don't know.
One person worded this differently, so I'm just going to word it my own way. What works for me is wanting to outdo others, wanting to be better
competition.
Than others.
Well, yeah, okay. That would help. I motivate a few people.
It depends on your job. It depends on what you're doing, I think.
And I think that has a shelf life. I don't think that lasts as long as you might hope it would.
Melissa, I'm going to so out-radio you.
Good luck, Seth.
Quote, a former boss of mine would say, before you start anything, think for 10 minutes how you're going to do it.
Ooh, a little quick planning session. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
I mean, it's not, except unless you have to work quickly under deadline pressure.
Well, of course, yes.
Spend 10 minutes thinking about it.
Right. I think then you do it. I am one of those people that does that a lot. I internally work things out. Before I, you know, especially if it's a bigger project kind of thing, instead of, you know, like, I know some people like to, you know, like make lists and that sort of, I just do it in my head, basically. And then when I get to that point, I'm ready to go. I got it. All right, let's do it. That kind of thing. Which is great if you're doing it by yourself. If you're doing it with other people, it doesn't work so. Because they're like, what are we doing?
No.
It's all in my head. Well,
it's all
we
in
can't
my head.
See in your head. So
I do that with lists. I usually spend a little time in the morning. So I guess I spend 10 minutes kind of planning my day.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
You guys, what Seth was just describing is pretty much what I was going through the first year or so working with you guys. It's just like, oh, yeah, that's right. I don't do this alone anymore.
Right. You know, here.
Let's talk as a team. Hey, boys.
Yes. I give my mother credit for this one right here. She really got this instilled in us. Tidy as you go. Train yourself to look around before leaving a room and pick something up that you can put away where you're going.
Right.
I cannot help myself. I don't like doing anything where I'm going into a room for one thing or going to a business for one thing. I work my brain to, okay, what else do I need? And I will actually put off doing something until I need that.
You have
that
another reason to do it, right? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I hear you.
I do that with like going to the grocery store.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That's mainly what I'm thinking of. Thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go when I have multiple things to buy.
Yeah, that's what I'm mainly thinking about is when I have to go out and buy things or do things.
Yeah.
You know,
I
errands.
Did this yesterday when I had to clean off my table. I like made piles of, okay, this goes to this room and this goes to this
room. That's a good way to do it. Yeah,
this goes to this room.
I mostly do that when I'm cooking. That's when it's like, okay.
Clean as you go.
Clean as you go kind of thing. Yeah, it makes it easier later.
That is the only one good, pretty much. The only one good thing I learned from 1X.
Every time I need to make an important phone call, I put on red lipstick. Something about it makes me feel more confident and professional.
Wow.
I thought that would be funnier if I didn't say quote first, if it just sounded like this was something I
thought that was pretty good.
I was going to ask, is this you, James? Yes. Did you add this one to the list?
I actually, you know, even with all the acting and everything I've ever done, I don't think I've ever put on lipstick. I don't think I've ever done that one.
I think I've done it once or twice, but
I don't think I've had a character that has said that.
I can see how that would work for someone, though. Or like, not necessarily just lipstick, but anything, you know. I feel like if I need to do a certain thing, I need to, you know, have
it's like putting
hat
on your professional looking clothes versus wearing grunge clothes or you know like dressing for the occasion or doing your hair for the occasion or
there you go
certain hat
I think it does change people's outlook
absolutely.
Quote, give me a deadline and I'll make it. Don't and I won't.
There you go.
Facts. Absolutely.
That's very basic, but it's not wrong.
Yeah. Quote, I put all my tasks on a slips of paper in a jar. Then I draw one randomly to do it. It's like a game, and it makes things seem less overwhelming because they're broken into small chunks and not into one long, scary list.
I like that idea. I might try that sometime just to see how I like it.
I think that's curiosity. Like a great idea for like kids' chores.
Yeah.
Better yet, I'll make my kids do it.
There you go. I think that would drive me absolutely nuts because of how my brain works. Okay. I need to have a set way of doing
things. I can take the randomness. I'll go with that. I'll take the random. Yeah.
I lean with Melissa on this one in the sense of the order.
I see what you mean.
And stuff, okay. And how it hurt my brain to even think about, just in my own life doing something like this. But I really do like if this works for people, that's really cool. Mm-hmm.
And I think it would depend on the tasks too, though. You know.
And I'll say too, for anybody that ever feels overwhelmed, I think of squirrels. I think of our nature. I think of our kingdom. You know, how is a squirrel going to collect enough food for winter? Mm. Well, it does it one nut at a time. And if you just break things down,
it forgets where it buries them.
If you break things down, things never seem as big or heavy if you break them down. And I like doing.
And I think
that's why I like lists, because then I know I need to do this thing on the list. I'm not going to worry about anything else until this task is done.
I think that
my ADHD brain goes into other things while I'm trying to do
the drawing, the random things. I think they have to be kind of equal though, because if you if you make one that's like a super big project and then one little project, that's not going to help, I don't think. So
or it couldn't be things like make dinner, laundry, vacuum. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe the
really
things
simple.
That wouldn't matter what time they would get done.
Exactly,
but, I mean, dinner needs to be made at dinner time, not when you randomly draw it out of a bin.
Yeah. Although that would make interesting.
We can't have dinner yet. I didn't draw that task.
That'd be hilarious. two more for you.
Exciting life.
One funny one, I think, actually not too bad. The entire roll of garbage bags goes into the garbage can. It just makes more sense. I usually put a couple of bags. You guys may even notice around here that there's a couple bags in there. So you don't even, I think that's a really good one. My dad taught me that one. That's a good one.
Just throw the whole roll in there. That's interesting. Yeah, wow.
I have seen that too, but like I keep my trash bags right under the sink, which is right next to my garbage can. So
you're good.
Kind of dumb.
And finally, quote, it's easier to start writing in Comic Sans. It just doesn't seem as serious.
Interesting.
That's if you're typing.
Wow.
Actually try to replicate the font. Oh my goodness.
Windings is another one.
Good lord. Oh, God.
Do younger generations can, because we all, isn't it wild to think about how we know font names?
Yeah.
Like you could say a random font
Helvetica.
Name. Times Roman.
Right.
People are going to know what we're talking about.
Arial.
That is a generational thing right there, man, that I've never thought about.
Is it Calibri? I've never said that one out loud. No. It's like Cabrilli or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but it's another common one.
Something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
You know, my brother, when he was in art school, he was taking a font class. He said it was the hardest class.
Oh, I totally believe it.
Impossible. In fact, I think he dropped it because it was just so ridiculously
hard. The people that come up with new fonts are amazing. It's and there crazy. Are people that do that. You can go around and find these amazing new fonts out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's very cool.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now, right away.
Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. It's been a fun kickoff to the week.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having a blast. Thank you so much to the best listeners and radio out there and all of our partners and sponsors and everything. Greatly appreciate all of you. Going to get into our schedule and some good stories of the day in a moment. I talk about this a lot, especially working at a news station like we do here. I think it's important for people in life to have palate cleansers, to have things to kind of pick up your mood, to things that you can rely on on to remind you that the world is a good place, that there are good people in some of these things. I've mentioned before that for me, one of those is, you know, looking at animal videos and when a dog and a goose are friends, you know, and this stuff. And I just find it fun and enlightening. It makes me feel better about the world.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been working as much lately. And part of that is, you know, personal stuff going on. And part of it is the world and the heaviness of some of these things. So I've gone to different places for these palate cleansers. And I've mentioned the Good News Network a number of times. That's a great website. That's a good one.
Yep.
But then there's just randomly coming across things. And I was 48 years old when I realized that there is something called the Slavad Global Seed Vault. Have you guys heard of this before?
Yes, I have.
I have not. Okay. I have not.
Really?
So, yeah.
This is one of the most interesting things I will ever come across in my life. You can look at it online. It's a building that provides long-term storage for duplicates of seeds from around the world covered in gene banks.
Wow.
Yep. It's like a seed library.
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Yeah. And it has in it seeds from literally every country around the world.
Wow.
It is run, it is not run by anybody. It is all funding that, mm-hmm. that different countries
right.
have added to it and everything.
Yep.
And these countries still own these seeds, as an example. I think it was 2007 or 2017, I apologize. Saudi Arabia ran out of a certain crop. They had a devastating, you know, hit there. They go, they grab these seeds, they grow the crops back, and then they put two seeds back into the vault.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So this vault, another thing, it can withstand climate change, it can withstand all these things. They had a scare a couple of years back where it got flooded.
Mm.
And it was actually, none of the seeds got damaged. It turned out to be a good thing because they were able to go back and, oh, we got to hammer this, make this even stronger.
Right, right.
This thing can handle a nuclear disaster.
Oh my gosh.
It is built into a mountain. It's in Norway, and it's mm-hmm. built into a mountain and everything. And it can withstand floods. It can withstand just about
wow.
anything. It's incredible. It's amazing. And the world came together to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Not a government body, not anything like that. We as people, as human beings, came together to do this and continue to. It's a currently going thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. It's fantastic.
It is.
It also, to me, ruined every single disaster movie ever.
Your dystopian science fiction stories are all bunk now.
Mad Max to Deep Impact to Armageddon to any of these movies. Why is not the goal to get to Norway to get these seeds? Like, I feel like every movie should go that route.
An epic journey.
Except that they didn't know about it, James.
Yeah.
That maybe it is. It's well kept secret. Yeah.
Or it could be an alternate plot line.
See now there's a good story in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
The seed vault safeguards duplicates of over 1,000,003. I don't even know how to say that number.
That's a really large number.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's just incredible.
Lots of seeds.
Yep.
I wasn't sure if I apologize if this is common knowledge and a lot of people know about this out there.
It's not common knowledge if Seth didn't know.
That's fair.
That's actually a really solid point. Yes. And funny. And
in fact, the fact that I knew about it and he did. This is like
red letter day for Melissa. Yeah.
I'm going to put stars on my calendar.
Please, you definitely should.
That was the day I knew more than Seth.
Yeah. We got a great lineup for you to kick off the week. We kick off Rapids Report today with our good friend Reverend Beth Habhacker joining us from the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Got some good, interesting stuff to talk about with her.
Yeah, we do.
And we're also going to talk with our good friend Keith Olson from the Wisconsin Rapids City Band.
All right. Oh,
nice.
That's right. The city band. It's summer.
What's going to happen from the 4th of July?
Yeah.
We're playing there, too.
It's got to be just a good, going on 5-6 years we've been doing this with Keith and the band and talking with them. Looking forward to it. Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. We will be your pregame for that on Playmakers. Join us from 4 to 5 on 105.5 WIRI. Thank you to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Be taking your live sports takes and feelings. Randy Paul going to be in with us. Randy Paul on the call, y'all. Going to be fun. And then at 5:50 right here at WFHR, we'll have Rafter Baseball at Rockford. Rafter's coming off a very, very nice victory yesterday.
Yes, in the heat. Yes, they pulled it out, yeah.
Good one for them.
Yep.
It was a nice win.
Mm-hmm.
We got some great local events going on. One of them happening today, Seth, that I wanted to touch on right here in town regarding our blood drive.
Yes, the next blood drive is happening today, everyone, this afternoon from 2 to 7 p.m. at the former East Junior High School in the cafeteria. And if you would like to make an appointment to see if there's anything still available, you can give them a call, 800-280-4102. That's 800-280-4182. You can also go to their website, communityblood.org, and you can also sign up to see what's available there as well. I've gone there before. It's really easy to find out what openings are available. They will take walk-ins, of course, if they have some openings. Head on over there to 311 Lincoln Street today for the blood drive happening from 2 to 7 in the former East Junior High School cafeteria.
The need is great, so if you can,
always
donate.
And from noon to 7 today, you can donate over in the Stevens Point area at their blood donation center at 32001 Main Street. Mm-hmm. Big thank you to everybody who has already donated and continues to out there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Our great friends over at the Alexander House have a wonderful event going on, and I got an invitation for it, you guys.
You do, right there in your hand. Yeah.
This Friday, June 27th, from 5 to 8, they're inviting you to celebrate 75 years of Brush and Palette Club.
Ooh, that's so cool.
It says 75 years.
Yeah, amazing.
Special opening reception will happen at the Alexander House as they commemorate the 75th anniversary. The exhibit will showcase a vibrant collection of 2- and 3-dimensional works by members of the Brush and Palette Club. Enjoy evening of art, light refreshments, and the opportunity to meet the artists in a warm and welcoming atmosphere.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. The gallery at the Alexander House is open Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, 1 to 4. By appointment, reach out to them either through their Facebook page or giving them a call. A big shout out to all of our friends over there doing great work keeping history alive.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping the arts alive.
Beautiful home.
It is.
It is. Just to be able to walk through it is so cool.
That's very nice.
We got this a little late. I did not get to read this ahead of time, but we like Kathy so much. We want to make sure to mention this. Kathy McGrath sent this over to us. Tomorrow, she'll be doing a Monarch presentation at the Lester Public Library over at 6550 Virginia Street in beautiful Vesper.
Oh, cool.
She'll be doing this from 12:30 to 1:30. Anyone is welcome to attend the event.
Nice.
Very nice.
And especially, I will say to any parents out there, if you got a little kiddo that loves butterflies, mm-hmm. Kathy's the goat. She knows her stuff, man. She knows her stuff. Mm-hmm. I love talking to Kathy.
That's great.
She really knows her stuff about that, and they're going to really enjoy it.
Anything more interesting than butterflies? Seriously, it's such an interesting thing.
Really fascinating. Mm-hmm. They really are interesting. And another interesting thing happening here in town on Wednesday, our great friends over at Family Natural Foods will be having a wonderful presentation, Natural Medicines That Outperform Drugs. They've got a great representation from Terry Naturally going to be there speaking. Knows her stuff. She's fantastic. This will happen again Wednesday at 5:15 behind Family Metro Foods at the First Baptist Church, 910 McKinley Street in Wisconsin Rapids.
All right.
Going to have a good turnout for this one, so need a little more room. Mm-hmm. And they got that beautiful church to be able to have it in. Shout out to them. Enjoy this event. Find out more at familynaturalfood.com, everybody. And make sure to attend. Let them know on their Facebook page if you plan on attending. It helps know how many chairs and things like that they
have.
It should be a good event. And let me see. I wanted to get one good world story in. The Animal Rescue League of Iowa saved a lost chicken that was hanging out by the front door of a Buffalo Wild Wings last week.
Oh, no.
They joked that the hen was obviously confused. Poor guy. Of all the buildings.
Of all the buildings. Yeah, he could turn into some wings there. Be careful.
Thankfully, he dodged the KFC. Thankfully, he was able to dodge that. Great show today, you two.
You too.
You too, James.
Be good to each other out there.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.